All right, Mr. Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 2:30 agenda item today. It's going to be a presentation by Deer Flat National Wildlife Refuge regarding letter of support. And it's an action item to consider letter of support for land acquisition. So take it away.
Hello. Sorry, I'm a little disheveled. There was a wreck. I had a meeting in Boise, so I was like,
oh gosh.
I just came running back in and then I got my Leatherman was confiscated, so there was a close call up there, but
hopefully you get it back.
Thank you guys very much for seeing me today. I first off want to apologize for this last minute request. This is a super tight turnaround. So I'm going to just start from the beginning. Several years ago, we had an opportunity to add a few parcels, and I'll show you guys the presentation. I don't know how to get it up there, but I'll show you guys.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Thank you very much. So we had the opportunity to add 40 acres to the, or a little over 30 acres to the refuge. It's a parcel. Again, I'll show you some maps here in a second, but I just kind of want to explain why this last minute ask came about. I initiated the paperwork. There's some funds that were available through the, there's so many different funds, I kind of start getting them confused. It was recreational funds. We actually were able to obtain that land. So that land is outright ours. Again, I'll talk about that in a little bit in a minute. But soon after, a couple more parcels came about, and we started the process with that as well. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, I was informed that all of a sudden there was a request to have governor's concurrence to these land acquisitions. Now, when I say these are at the very end of the dealings being done, the offers have been accepted, willing parties going to accept the checks. It got delayed a month or we wouldn't even be having this meeting. And so they're just waiting to get their paycheck from the government for that land. And so it came down from the Department of Interior that they wanted us to get governor's concurrence. So I contacted Idaho Fish and Game. I know Josh Royce really well, who's the director for this region. He reached out to the governor's office. They put me in contact with the governor's office. The governor's office informed me that they would like to see sign off from King County. They actually asked for like user groups and other folks as well. So it's a little bit of a mess that was created. Wasn't created. It just happened through wanting to make sure that the states were okay with federal folks buying land. I told him, I really wish you had done this at the beginning because I would have done it immediately. So my lesson learned here is I will never pursue land again ever without getting written documentation from the county, user groups and everything saying that they concur with it. So yeah, again, just to reiterate, this process started 3 years ago. So I lost the TVs here.
Plugged in.
It is plugged in.
If only we had somebody who knew anything about IT.
If wishes were fishes. There it is.
There we go. Thank you very much. I am the gun biologist.
Those monitors.
I'm Eddie Owens with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. have you guys been out to Deer Flat National Wildlife Refuge? I'm assuming you have. If you hadn't, I'd love to get you guys out there for a tour. That would be awesome. I'd love to talk to you about everything going on. I feel like we have a lot of good things going on. I'm going to pause there and we'll focus on the land acquisition. I'll come back to that. So I just wanted to present the breakout. So this is on the east side of the refuge, highway right next to Highway 45. So can you guys see that? Are you familiar with that area? Okay. These two parcels, as I said, were put up for sale by two different landowners. These parcels, one of the bigger things and why I jumped all over trying to acquire these properties were because they shore up the refuge boundary to the road. Highway 45 right there, if we are able to obtain, acquire this land, it's going to have, that's going to be refuge boundary right up to Highway 45. The Levitt Tract is already right there. That is an open to the public recreational site. I say recreational. When I say recreational, I usually mean multiple user groups. That's primarily used by hunters. So with that parcel, that would expand the property to the border of Highway 45, ensuring that there's no construction that goes on there. And it preserves that land for Treasure Valley, for Nampa, for Caldwell, for the whole community to use it in perpetuity. I hope in perpetuity. Our goal with it at the end is to actually open it up to hunting, fishing, hiking, all the different recreations. We know that it's going to be mostly used for upland game hunting, so dove, quail, pheasant, that type of stuff. There's actually some decent amount of pheasant out that way. I give you this slide not to bore you to death with a bunch of details, but just to show you that the acquisition of this land goes in conjunction with the comprehensive conservation plan that was signed a little over 10 years ago. So it was within our objectives to try to be expanding that much. I want to make clear to you guys, to anybody that's listening to me, it is not my intention as the refuge manager while I'm here to ever go over that road. That's done. That area right there, I'm not. If the parcel across the road became available, I'd tell them we're not interested. I've already told that to some folks that are a proposed development across from our maintenance shop. If it's over the road, we don't want it. Just not worth the hassle for me to try to be able to manage that. What we have is already hard enough to manage. Just trying to shore up those boundaries to ensure that we have space that's not constructed on, right? So. Again, that's the second one. Both of them in the same thing. My intent is not, again, not to bore you with a bunch of little details, but just to show you that it's in line with our goals with the CCB. So the first one, as you can see, is a little over 15 acres. The second one's a little over 35 acres. The BMK property, you guys can't see my mouse, but I put the pin up there. That is the parcel that we were able to purchase and we own outright. Eddie Montanoe is still farming it. As a condition of that purchase, we allowed him to, we continued him farming that land for another couple years. The intent there was to ensure that it was free and clear of invasive noxious weeds so that when we do come in, we'd like to, I'm gonna pause there because I'm not sure what I wanna do with it. I've been working with pheasants and quail forever a little bit. They've offered up to maybe do a little bit of row farming with it. I don't know. We're still in a little bit of the planning phase. Eddie's still farming it, so I haven't gotten that far yet. But it's either going to become kind of a row farm with the crop that provides feed for wildlife, or it's just going to be returned into native habitat, shrub set habitat. But that parcel also provides fishing opportunity via the New York Canal right there. In fact, I just got sent a picture from somebody that was just off that bridge. He caught a 5-pound brown trout right from that bridge. I'm not joking. I can show you the picture. Like, you guys can't see my pen. I'm going to stand up and show you. Right here. So, again, the intent is to multi-use, hunting, fishing. The cool thing about that parcel, that's going to be open to biking. It'll be, all of them will be open to everything, but this is going to be very, of interest very much to pedestrians and bicyclists and equestrians because if we look at this picture, I tried to piece this together the best I could with the amount of time I had to show you the large parcel. So, you know, that black line with the white line, all of, that's all kind of part of what's going to be open to the public. It'll be open to hunting, fishing, everything else. But more importantly, on that west side of the line, the west side. So along this line, this is the East Dyke Trail. The East Dyke Trail will continue over till it gets to Lakeshore Drive. That's actually in the bike ped pedestrian plan for Nampa. And hopefully we get in conjunction with that, we'd like to put an access point right there. So you'd be able to, in theory, bicycle, ride, horseback, whatever you can think of, from Gott's Point all the way over, skip Highway 45 completely.
Wow.
For me, thankfully, that parcel's already been, that probably was the most important parcel in the entire puzzle. So I'm glad that one's already done. Again, you guys are the newer commissioners to me, not Leslie, but you guys are. And so I wasn't able to talk with you guys about that before, but the previous commissioners, this was talked about. I also mentioned that if you guys didn't know this, I regularly communicate with Nikki about anything going on, and she always gives me that litmus test of like, oh, we need to bring this to the commissioners. So, again, a total of approximately 160 acres of the refuge that will be open to hunting, fishing in that area. And currently, there's only about 80 acres, so we're adding almost double that. We did pursue one more parcel that is just south of the lower on the red, the kind of stair step looking one. What is that called? The appraisal they weren't happy with, so they're not interested in, we're not pursuing that one at this point, but I would have. So in a nutshell, that's for this purchase, that's it. Going into what I was kind of talking about before, we were, out of 550 refuges, we're one of only 8 refuges that's considered what's a flagship urban refuge. We're a flagship urban refuge. What that means is we get $1 million a year on top of our base budget. I kind of spin it several different ways, connect with the community, make the refuge more safe and welcoming. Most importantly, what we know as an urban refuge, and especially as a flagship urban refuge, is that we're living in an area where a national wildlife refuge can't be managed the same as somewhere in like the middle of Montana. In the middle of Montana, when you get maybe 20 visitors a year, it's real easy to manage that refuge, keep it closed, do whatever, you know. At Deer Flat, we're an urban refuge. We're being encroached on. We understand this. We're not trying to fight the recreation that goes on there. We're trying to embrace it, make it more sustainable, work with the community to do practices at the refuge that also help protect the wildlife, right? So we're trying to build a contingency of folks that do appreciate the refuge for what it is, a national wildlife refuge, while being able to maintain those recreational activities. So, you know, for instance, at Gott's Point, this is why I'd love to give you guys a tour. At Gott's Point, one of the ideas, and hopefully we're gonna collaborate on doing some grant applications, but I'd love to get some kayak launches there. Perfect place to launch kayaks. It's in the no wake zone. If Jason Roberts were here, if Sergeant Roberts were here right now, he'd tell you that when we opened up some of the gate to the Gott's Point parking last year for the first time in almost 15 years. And I did that with cooperation from him, talking to the Sheriff's Department, saying, hey, are you guys going to be able to help us? They gave us the thumbs up. Yeah, we'll be able to help you guys do some patrolling. We opened that back up with the massive amount of folks that we're seeing coming to the refuge right now. We're seeing the boat ramp parking areas just get inundated. So that helped relieve some of that parking, right? Because some of those folks are kayakers, and all they want to do is kayak. So they've been going to Gott's Point. So, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, once again, I'm just going to reiterate, it is not my intention to close the lake to boating or anything like that. I am trying to work with the community, with the partners, everybody. If the word hasn't spread, I don't know what else I could do. I am a partnership person that likes working with folks. And I know that there's a meet in the middle that we can do always to achieve both the mission of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Wildlife Refuges, and Canyon County in providing for the residents to have green spaces.
Chairman, so I have a number of questions and thoughts that I think are important given the fact that this is a pretty new board. There was a urban wildlife refuge document that was provided that was a back and forth negotiation between the Board of County Commissioners with help from our legal staff on separating out the jurisdictional areas for the refuge. And help me out, Eddie, it's the water has the jurisdictional authority of that is still over Fish and Wildlife, correct? Is that, or do I have it backward?
Do you want me to explain?
Yeah.
So we're what's called an overlay refuge. The Bureau of Reclamation, so we own very little. I actually was just looking at a document. I think out of 12,000 acres, we own like 1,100 of it. And that's, and 1,000 of that is the Snake River Islands. So a little over 1,100. 1,000 of that is the Snake River Islands. And about 600 is fee title to the Fish and Wildlife Service. The rest of it is BOR. The BOR owns that land. We have a document that dates back to like the 50s in which the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was charged with the management of it. So the BOR owns it. We're in charge. We're charged with management of it. Does that answer your question?
Well, I think so. And then the document that we worked on, the urban refuge, yes, that document. Is this going to extend to these parcels? As far as
Once those parcels become U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service property, I guess I should note the BMK property that Eddie Montanoe is farming right now. I have taken no action on. We have done nothing to open that up to the public yet. The reason was I wanted to save myself a little work, so I was waiting to get these other two parcels. As soon as we get these other two parcels, we'll start that process to get them open to the public. It falls under the umbrella of everything we've been doing, are going to do, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and then Chairman, if it's okay, I would like for our director to talk a little bit about the partnership that she's built with Fish and Wildlife and how important the leadership for a vision on the Park Service and the partnerships in that area that keep it accessible and available to the public.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, you know, when I came into my position, you know, there was some heated history I learned about with the refuge and history. Like, you guys know I'm passionate about history, but I'm also about, you know, not locking into history, right? And so when Eddie came into his position and with his experience, especially coming from an urban refuge in California, it was a very different take on the fact that, yeah, this is a refuge in an increasingly urbanizing area, right? Whether we like it or not, people are moving in, things are moving in. And, he also got into this position where it's a refuge where recreation has been happening. And Eddie has been great at recognizing, well, you're not going to take that away from people. And I don't think you need to if you could do the right partners. You know, and it's the same kind of things that we do down at Celebration Park. We're trying to educate and be stewards of what's down there while also providing people those recreational accesses. And so, you can't grow more land. So if you see a partner with a chance to get some land where it can be saved for recreational uses, that I think it's it aligns with, you know, our parks adopted plan. I think it's a great thing to support. And, you know, we've worked with Eddie and legal to get an MOU between us so that we can make applications to getting grants to improve some of those recreational things where, you know, Eddie might not be able to get a grant or be allowed to go for a recreational grant because that's not his mandate, whereas my mandate is recreation. And so with those partnerships, we could then apply to make those recreational improvements, which would just improve things like the boating that's there or the kayak access, right? And so that's where this urban refuge designation really is, I believe, a great thing for this area because we're trying to mitigate the needs of wildlife, but also the recreationists and find that middle balance of how to do it together.
Yep.
And without that, without the MOU, we wouldn't be able to make application for those projects, right? And with those MOUs, we could use some of Eddie's efforts and our efforts as match, right? To me, it's like, how can we partner on this to make sure that, you know, the boating or kayaking and those types of things have a chance to not only stay here, but those facilities to get some improvements.
Yeah, and Chairman, may I follow up with a comment?
Sure.
I think in the layman's terms, Eddie White might be restricted without the urban portion of that agreement that's out there just to the preservation of native habitat, fish, and wildlife. But the urban component ensures that recreational opportunities, so it ties it and gives it equal importance with preserving those other aspects of a wildlife refuge plan. So I thought, for me, that was significant in understanding what the purpose of that memorandum was. And then I have a question regarding Wilson Pond, which is managed by Idaho Fish and Game, so different than the feds or the county. But is the intent, is the long-range vision for that to develop it in a way that it has walking trails and a pond area and trees? Help me understand when you're looking forward. I know you don't have a complete picture of that yet, but
I think the best answer I can give you is that with public input, we will develop a plan. The plan is for it to be open to the public. What that looks like is up to the public.
Okay. And that's a lot of what Director Schwinn did in 2022 with her staff, was to develop a Parks and Pathways plan that the Board of County Commissioners signed off on, which is long-range planning for parks and recreation in Canyon County. So the partnership with, as you've already indicated, Director, with Fish and Wildlife, and there's a number of entities that you've developed that with, I think is a real benefit to Canyon County as we look toward the future and what's going to supersede us in our seats. So,
Commissioners, you know, working with Fish and Wildlife and Fish and Game, you know, hunting is a big thing that it's a big focus of both those groups too. So whereas, you know, it might not end up with that, those parcels he's talking about, I'm not sure that they'll end up like Wilson Ponds with a bunch of trails, but having access from Highway 45 and possible, you know, other subdivisions, everyone made it clear in our plans, and I'm sure in Eddie's plans working with the public, they want access to the lake. And so
right.
And feed them trails or pathways that get them to the lake to do whatever it is they're wishing to do. That was kind of the big things that we saw as a plus, is going from Highway 45 and some of those new subdivisions. And, you know, I was telling Eddie that one of those right next to the parcels he's getting, or I was telling Mike, sorry, is a gravel pit, which just means it'll end up being a subdivision and they're going to have this wonderful access to the refuge, right? So, you know, that's where I see, you know, if a partner can get some property that helps line that up for citizens, that would be great. And if it, you know, its greater purpose might just be more, here's one trail, but here's hunting.
Yeah.
Right? So,
Chairman, follow up. On Gott's point, when we did the very first boat tour with Fish and Wildlife and Parks, and then I was out there, that's one of the things that Sergeant Roberts expressed interest to as Marine Patrol, was the ability to access from Gott's Point and open up that kayaking. That was closed for several years, and now it's my understanding we drove out there. That's open to drive down there, but still not developed in a way, I guess, that kayaking can launch out of there. So that piece of it, I think, is pretty exciting to have that as a factor that both sides are considering. And that's part of what we should do, is that boat tour again, where we get your vision for even upgrading our park system, whether it's the parking or pay to park, to if you want to recreate out there, to help maintain the facilities for both Fish and Wildlife and Canyon County. I think there's a lot of really great potential wrapped up in your willingness to dedicate funds with this urban document guiding that vision to help augment what we all really value in Canyon County, and that's Lake Lowell.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, sorry if I'm not following the process properly. I'm learning. Yes, I would love to have you guys out there. I'd love to talk about it. I mean, you know, make no bones about it. It's a national wildlife refuge. There's areas I want to protect and keep people out of it, so that we have areas that are undisturbed for wildlife. The public, the places that are open to the public, I want to make them as cohesive as possible for both wildlife and the residents in this area, so.
Chairman, can I follow up on the development in the county?
Yes.
This would be a really great thing for commissioners to have boots on the ground for. There's areas of impact that are encroaching on the wildlife, where we could get input on what would help protect those areas from, I guess, building too close to the lake or the refuge, any of those nesting areas, or even the water features out there that protect some of those birds. You know more about it than I do, but that's, with some of those subdivisions as close as they are to the lake, I think input from the management of the refuge out there would be help this board in those conversations that are coming up for us in shaping those decisions.
I appreciate you bringing that up. So I do, since I have this opportunity, I'm gonna make it very clear. I've said this to the NAMPA Planning Commission as well, is if it doesn't come out of my mouth or it's not in writing from the refuge, then I didn't say it. I do feel like there's a lot of folks trying to represent me in meetings, both positive and negative, both for and against projects, and we are very neutral. If it's off the refuge, I don't really have an opinion unless it's going to have a direct impact to the refuge. For instance, the Lavender Farm plan for Deer Flat had a couple of things on there. I made comments in writing and that was it. So if somebody came in here and from a user group and said that I said that this is gonna have a negative impact on wildlife, if I wanna get that point across, I'll show up and say it myself. So thank you for mentioning that. And this is a great opportunity to put that in on the record.
Well, Chairman, and as we try to protect all the interests that are represented in Canyon County, whether it's agriculture or parks or development certainly is a part of that, but to have a well-rounded input, and I'm very empathetic to what you're saying. I attended a council meeting where it was represented that the board said and the board did not said. And so, I think those are just great partnerships to make sure that we're doing that in a good way.
So I need to stop and make it clear on the public record that, to my knowledge, at this date and time, we have no active permit that would preclude us to do a tour of the lake and look at the shoreline. There's no active permit currently submitted to the county. There is a portion of the public that believes there is, and we have had quote-unquote, a workshop on the concept, but there has not been a legally filed requested permit or a land use question presented to the County Department.
Thank you, Chairman.
Development Services. So to those listening, you can have your personal opinion, but we don't have a legal permit from any of the cities on this land today. It's been represented other than that, but I'm just, so otherwise I would say, we probably can't take that boat tour, but right now we could take the boat tour. So that could change tomorrow after they listen to this. But anyway, we need to do that sooner than later.
And Chairman, I need to clarify for the record too. I have not looked at the information on that since we had that meeting about 5 years ago. So the jurisdictional authority probably was retained by the county for the waters because it's for agricultural. I'm looking for help over there. It's been a long time since we've talked about that.
Yes, it's an irrigation reservoir. So I do not have any input authority or anything about the releasing of that water or the adding of the water.
Right, and I think that was what made the news back then, and people were pretty excited when this MOU came before the board, thinking that the federal government, particularly Eddie Owens, might be trying to take a piece of that, and that was simply not the case. This was an MOU that was signed simply to broaden the partnership between the county and Fish and Wildlife.
The way I would put it is it solidified, the things were in the MOU were already happening.
Right.
Now we just have it in writing that it's happening.
Right.
Without this partnership, without Canyon County, without Nikki, without Canyon County Parks, manage it without Jason Roberts, managing that refuge. Again, sorry, I'm pretty passionate about this. Without Idaho Fish and Game, I can keep the list going on and on and on. I would not be, I'd like to think I'm a successful refuge manager. I would not be without every one of those people. It is not in my interest to try to manage that as a solo entity. It's not in the next person's interest in doing that. And I, when the time comes that I depart this place, I will make sure that I slam that into whomever I need to ensure that they understand how things work down here and how to what it takes to be successful. And most recently with this particular incident instance, I did that. I several times had our regional office asked me if they wanted me to come down, if they wanted me to have them come down. I was, no, no. You, first and foremost, you got to understand, you got to break bread with people. That's the just first thing that anybody should understand about just human nature. And then you get to the business aspect of it. But if I'm not getting it done, you're not getting it done down these ways. Maybe, oh, this is recorded, so maybe I should not.
Unfortunately.
I that was clearly a joke. I love that it's recorded because anybody can hear what I have to say. And I would love to scream this to the entire Treasure Valley. This is not my land. This is our land. This is your land. I am only here to manage it the best that I can so that you guys get the maximum benefit out of it. That's it. That's why I'm doing this. You know, I am doing this for everybody else. It's not for myself, because I tell you, there's many days I bang my head against the wall. So,
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, there's also additional things that we'll probably be approaching when the time is right. You know, we've talked about it with a cooperative agreement that Eddie could actually assist pay for some of the things that are happening on the refuge in a much easier way than through his own processes, which are very, very bureaucratic. And instead of doing that, if there was a cost share agreement, he could potentially put some money in a fund. It's restricted to what it's used for. But then, you know, my department or facilities gets to use those funds to purchase things or make things happen without a lot of the bureaucratic red tape that he has to go through. So I just, while we had that, wanted to plant that seed. We'll of course be working with legal, but it's also something that in the past, you know, Eddie tried in the past with a former weed control to actually get like a $40,000 grant that would have paid for several years. And It probably needs some executive session to explain what happened. But, you know, we don't want to miss out on opportunities like those if we can, to where we can just make cooperating much easier to do things like pay for toilet paper or septic cleaning or garbage or whatever it is that is outlined in that. And it would be really restricted. But that is something that I want to plant the seeds that will be probably having future discussions about.
I would add, it's not just bureaucratic process. For instance, the weeds. I just don't have the staff. When I got here, I had a staff of 2. I have a staff of 6 now. So about 35% of that funding that we get from the UWCP funds is used for staffing. I'm trying to retain it'll probably end up being about, in the next few years, probably be about 40-45% will be with staffing. That's important, right? We got to have staff to maintain stuff. Still not enough staff for 12,000 acres. The amount of weeds we have. We all have weeds around here, so we're always trying to fight it. And so Canyon County has oftentimes helped us out in that realm. And it just would be make it much so either I buy the herbicide or whatever. However it works, we got to find other means. So I guess bureaucratic does come into play. But it would be this really easy thing to allow for. If Rick got a call about a certain specific nuisance weed at a neighbor and he just wanted to go ahead and take care of it, he thought it'd be quicker. Just dip into those funds, buy it, pay your staff member that, and it would work that way. I have other ideas as well. It's just a collaborative. I'm just trying to take the collaborative approach. And so you know, mentioning the toilet paper, the toilets being pumped on a regular basis. How it happens right now is maintenance will identify it, then they call my maintenance worker. My maintenance worker calls me. I give my maintenance worker the thumbs up. He schedules the toilet cleaning. The toilet cleaning happens. As you can tell, there's a whole bunch. If I were able to just dump that to get some money over, I guess I shouldn't use the word dump. If I was to meticulously and in a very good manner get you guys some money, Rick could just, they could just schedule it and it's done. And we paid for it, right, through that agreement. And as Nikki said, it's not like giving $100,000 to Canyon County and Canyon County can just use it however they would like. It's a cooperative agreement that spells out the uses. We have them with the Friends of Deer Flat National Wildlife Refuge, which is our nonprofit. But that is definitely something I'd be interested in pursuing with Canyon County if it was of interest. I think it would actually help expedite things and make it much more efficient. I couldn't think of a story that you could tell that is me trying to take something over. I'm trying to give.
Mr. Chairman, that sounds like a really good idea. And I want to say, Eddie, I appreciate your posture of it's not your land, it's not mine, it's ours. There's obviously a checkered history with that ground out there. And I know the citizens of this county really appreciate your posture and being able to be confident that, you know, they're going to be able to continue to use that. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I agree.
Chairman, there is a letter. We have an action item today, and both Eddie Owens and our director have provided input on, and they, I don't know how we want to do this, but.
Has legal looked at it yet?
Chairman Massey?
Yes, sure.
What was I going to add? Oh, I just lost it. I do want to make it clear. This is not the last leg of this trip. Even if you guys sign this, there's no guarantee. I need something from the governor. I'm not asking that from you guys. That's already in the works. I'm just letting you guys know when I walk out of here today, just because anybody signed this doesn't mean it's a done deal. So if they ultimately decide not to, then so be it. I think we got the most important piece already, for sure. So.
Oh, man. No, we were important. Shucks.
Oh, you guys are super important. No. Sorry, foot's in the mouth. You guys are very important. And like I said, this is not, to be quite honest, if this falls through, I don't anticipate anybody from the Canyon County ever agreeing to sell land to us ever again.
Yeah.
So hopefully it goes through, and if we ever do, I promise you guys, I did it last time. I did talk to everybody. I just didn't get it writing. Next time I pursue some land, you guys will be the first people I stop at.
I would be happy to hear that.
So that you know, the governor's office did ask. Did the commissioners sign off? Did they provide a letter? So that's...
There you go. Out somewhere.
May not be fast, but we're steady. So let's... I'd make a motion that we authorize our signature on the letter.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Is there anything else for this time period?
I don't think we have anything, Chairman.
Just one scheduled boat ride somewhere.
Yep. That's right.
Add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
Sergeant Roberts healed up.
Oh, I didn't know he was unhealed. Okay.
He got hurt on the lake.
Okay.
Well, we'll be standing by then.
Yes, wishing him the best. Okay.
Okay, I would, if there's nothing else, I'd make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you.